Beautiful, isn't it? That's just plain old congregational a cappella singing without musical accompaniment. Grace and peace to you from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Before the next song, we'd like to tell you this program is brought to you by the poor, the meek, and the downtrodden of the Main Street Church of Christ, 4300 Main Street, Dallas, Texas, 75226, USA. And visit our website at www.churchofchristpreaching.com. The churches of Christ are those local, autonomous, self-governing congregations you read about in Romans 16:16. We're neither Protestants nor Catholics nor Jews, but just plain old vanilla Bible-believing Christians. We're reaching the unchurched for Christ worldwide by radio at the same time and station every Sunday. So why don't you come into fellowship with us? You can simply assemble in the freedom of your own home if you live in a country that's not free or there's no Church of Christ near you. Then you and your family will become the Church of Christ, and we'll teach you how. You don't need the approval from anyone to worship God through Jesus Christ. Five things compose worship. You can sing, study the Bible, learn to preach, take the Lord's Supper, pray, and set aside some of God's blessings for the poor of your own community anywhere in the world. Visit our website at www.churchofchristpreaching.com. And be sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel. And why don't you visit our website at www.churchofchristpreaching.com. For free downloads of great a cappella singing, hundreds of sermons, advanced Bible studies, and 1,000 links, please tell a friend about our website and our broadcast time. Now we offer you this a cappella singing, which is four-part harmony without musical instruments, so that you can hear what we believe singing in the Spirit in heaven is surely like.
Christ, we have reason, son, God. Well, good morning, church, on this beautiful Lord's Day. What a delight it is to have each one of you with us in God's presence. This has been a wonderful time of worship, and I want us just to continue to renew our minds and prepare to receive God's holy word. Would you approach God's throne with me as we approach Him in prayer? Dear Lord, we just come this morning overwhelmed by who You are, Your infinite wonder, Your nature, Your attributes, which are wholly beyond our understanding. We thank You for the love that You have made known to us in Jesus Christ, our Savior. May our hearts grow in affection for Him. May we be cleansed by His blood. May we receive the fullness of grace and power and the Holy Spirit that come from Him. And may we live and be like Him and be a light in this world. Father, look upon this congregation, we pray, and have mercy on us. Teach us, Father, guide us, correct us when we go astray. And we pray that we would be alive and on fire and produce much fruit for You. Help me, Father, as I preach Your word. May I feed Your precious sheep, and may I bring honor to Your great name. It's in Jesus' name that we ask these things. Amen. We're going to be in 1 Peter this morning. If you'd like to turn over there, we're going to be in the third chapter, beginning in verse 1. And so we've been discussing this subject of submission. Jesus says that you are the light of the world. And I want you to think of it in this way. Submission exhibits the glory of God. It provides a stage through which the world may see Jesus living in us. It's not difficult to come together and sing a few songs on Sunday, but to submit to the teachings of Jesus Christ, to digest and to live out some of the things we've been studying, it's a whole nother ballgame. These are some of the most controversial and abrasive teachings imaginable. We don't always understand the reasoning for submission according to our own understanding. This teaching requires trust in the mysteries of God's dealings with us. It is through submission and obedience to God that we, like Abraham, receive blessing beyond our imagination. We are called by Peter to adopt this stance in regard to suffering and submission. We say, Lord, we know that You're watching us. We know that You see us. I know that this is within Your will for us to submit and to follow You. Therefore, we are going to obey You even when it hurts. It is in this that God is pleased. We have His favor. He delights in us. And we also have fellowship with Him. And even the sense which Paul brings to the table in Philippians is that we might share in His sufferings. There's intimacy that comes with sharing in the sufferings of Christ. And so consider the following, that this subject of submission takes up a rather large portion of Peter's letter, and this indicates that this is a very important subject that we shouldn't quickly overlook. And so we concluded last week, as we observed, that Jesus Christ is the prime example. He is the pattern of someone who submitted in radical terms, even to the point of great affliction and persecution to Himself. Turn with me now to 1 Peter chapter 3. So we pick up in verse 1. The Bible says, likewise, wives, be subject to your own husbands, so that even if some do not obey the word, they may be won without a word by the conduct of their wives. When they see your respectful and pure conduct, do not let your adorning be external, the braiding of hair and the putting on of gold jewelry or the clothing you wear, but let your adorning be the hidden person of the heart with the imperishable beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which in God's sight is very precious. For this is how the holy women who hoped in God used to adorn themselves by submitting to their own husbands, as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord. And you are her children if you do good and do not fear anything that is frightening. Likewise, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way, showing honor to the woman as the weaker vessel, since they are heirs with you of the grace of life, so that your prayers may not be hindered. I'd like to look at this second part first, beginning in verse 5 through 7. To say our society is in radical need of biblical instruction regarding marriage and gender identity would be an understatement. Verse 5. For this is how the holy women who hoped in God used to adorn themselves by submitting to their own husbands, as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord. What I want you to see is this is Sarah's spiritual service. This is the way that Sarah honors God, by the way that she lives out her faith and loves her husband. Sometimes we complicate things. This is a practical teaching this morning. Sometimes we like to over-spiritualize things, and we think that you have to be a missionary, move to China in order to do the will of God. But right here, we see that the Bible is teaching that the will of God is to love the person right next to you. In fact, that's many times the hardest thing to do. And so notice here that Sarah calls Abraham Lord or Master. This word conveys rich symbolism and is full of meaning, but here Peter focuses on the aspect of submission, which is put forward by this title that she gives her husband. This title Sarah gives her husband clearly indicates her humble subjection to Abraham's headship. There are a lot of people who claim to be followers of God and simply aren't. Jesus tells the Jews who were claiming to be Abraham's descendants in John 8:39, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. In the same way, women who claim to be descendants of Sarah cannot rightfully lay hold to this claim without following in her footsteps. For Peter continues in verse 6, and you are her children if you do good and do not fear anything that is frightening. And then he speaks to husbands in verse 7. Likewise, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way, showing honor to the woman as the weaker vessel, since they are heirs with you of the grace of life, so that your prayers may not be hindered. The husband is given a tremendous responsibility by God. In fact, this goes for every institution which God has entrusted authority. A husband needs equal, if not greater, grace to fulfill the role as head of his family. When God entrusts things to man, it's all too easy for him to mess them up. Let me illustrate this, if you'll allow me. In our homeless ministry, We've had trouble in the past with volunteers who seemingly are nice as they can be, but the second they get power, they absolutely go crazy and they can't handle it. And they begin to mistreat people just like themselves. And I want to put forward this morning that this is not just a homeless problem, but this is a human problem. The point is that authority is not easy to handle. Power corrupts. It is difficult to be faithful as a husband. It is difficult to be faithful as someone who has been entrusted with something given by God. It's much like a bull in a china shop. It can be very difficult not to do damage with all the power and authority that God has given you. It's easy to make mistakes and to do great damage, like that bull breaking dishes of great cost. And so I want us to consider also that in view of the resurrection, all those who have been entrusted with authority from the Lord will have to stand before the judgment seat of Christ and will have to give an account for the ways in which we stewarded these responsibilities. And there is a great deal of grace from above that is needed in order to rightfully handle headship. I want to draw your attention back to verse 1 and following, in 1 Peter 3, 1. Likewise, wives, be subject to your own husbands, so that even if some do not obey the word, and let's stop there for a minute, I'd like you to notice first here something rather interesting. Observe that these husbands are unbelievers. Peter is telling Christian women to be subject to non-Christian husbands. The context is most extreme. Peter has already told the Christian slaves to be subject to non-Christian masters who even mistreat them. He has used the sufferings of Jesus as an example for us to follow. This is an intense passage, and there's no way of getting around it. Once again, picking up in the middle of verse 1. So that even if some do not obey the word, speaking of these unbelieving husbands, they may be won without a word by the conduct of their wives. Perhaps these unbelieving husbands had already heard this mighty apostle preach the gospel. This is deeply profound in a number of ways. Peter, this apostolic giant, is saying to this weak Christian woman in this miserable circumstance that you have the ability to do something that I cannot do. Oftentimes in the body of Christ, there are those who question their own usefulness. They say, well, I'm not a preacher. I'm not a teacher. I'm not a missionary. I'm not an elder, etc. We read of Moses, David, and Paul, and other heroes of the faith, and we marvel at the spotlight that these men take in God's history. And we wonder, how could God use us in our weakness? What would it have been like to have heard these primitive ministers in the first century preaching with divine authority and the fullness of the Holy Spirit and convicting power, at the same time their preaching being confirmed by signs and wonders? In spite of this, in the New Testament, there are many who reject the apostles' gospel. But here we have the Lord's almighty converting power being channeled through the weakness of a woman who submits to her unbelieving husband. He may have rejected the eloquence and power of the evangelist, but he is cut to the heart by the inward beauty of his wife. What is it that this unbelieving husband sees that brings him to accepting the gospel? Now at verse 2. When they see your respectful and pure conduct, do not let your adorning be external, the braiding of hair and the putting on of gold jewelry or the clothing you wear, but let your adorning be the hidden person of the heart with the imperishable beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which in God's sight is very precious. I want you to imagine an unbelieving husband who is unkind to his believing wife. And let's say that because she is mindful of Christ, while she is being mistreated, she follows the pattern that has been set forward by our Lord. In 1 Peter 2:23, when he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but continued entrusting himself to him who judges justly. Do you understand that this man is actually having an encounter with Jesus Christ through his wife? This is a Damascus Road experience. Christ is entering into his life as he is traveling down the road of life, as he encounters the living Christ working in his wife, this inner beauty, the radiance and love of the Holy Spirit that is shining through her as she submits to this man and she returns kindness for his ungodliness. This unbeliever is having an encounter with God, just like the ones that you read about in the Bible. And so Islam historically has taken up the sword in order to force men to convert. The Catholic Church has taken up this same sword historically. The end result is superficial, and it is nominal at best. But notice this, in the wisdom of God, he has chosen weakness and humility to be the instruments by which he does the impossible, to be the catalyst through which we see the new birth, through which we see conviction of sins, through which we see this proud, ungodly man's heart, which is like a stone, to be softened and to be melted and to be receptive to the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Back to the problem of unbelief and those who say that God can't use me because I'm too weak and I don't have the abilities of Peter, or I don't have the abilities of a preacher or a missionary. This woman, I want you to think of this. She could have rebelled. She could have returned evil for evil, but and she also could have missed her opportunity. But notice here, she followed the pattern of Jesus Christ, and because of this, there is a promise which is given to us in the Word. If you know your weakness and are willing to obey the Word of God, you will be his choice instrument. When he has put the place that he's put you, he wants to display his attributes to those who are closest to you, to those who are around you, thus turning sinners to God. And so we could do with less goofy church language and we could do with more inner conformity and inner beauty that comes from Jesus. More obedience and less disobedience. More submission and less rebellion. And so think of this as you sit here this morning and apply this to your own heart. What do others who are closest to you see when they look at your life? Do they see this inner beauty? Do they see this reflection of Jesus Christ as they look at your life? Or do they see a spirit of rebellion? Do they see pride and a unwillingness to follow after Christ? Those closest to us may see the glory of Christ in us. Are we to preach? Absolutely. We are to shout the gospel from the rooftops. And we are to go into the highways and to the hedges. But preaching without works is dead. Just like faith without works is dead. Preaching without a demonstration, without a changed life, is completely worthless. And so this is what this man needed to see. He needed to reach out and be able to touch someone's life who had been changed. He needed a demonstration of the gospel before him. I want you to consider submission with respect to eternity. We have but one life to live. We're born into this world, and a child has only one set of parents. And we have an opportunity to love them, to respect them, or we can rebel against them. A husband is given one wife, and he has the opportunity to be Christ to her, or he can blow that situation. A wife is given one man to love. And so what does it matter if we suffer momentarily? What does it matter if we're mistreated for a moment if we choose the road of obedience and suffering, and if we open ourselves up to be instruments of Jesus Christ in order that others might see the glory of Christ in us? So the sufferings will mean very little in light of the eternal glory that will be obtained through choosing to follow Jesus Christ in radical submission. I want you also to think of this. In the New Testament, there's a lot of language of do this, don't do that. And sometimes as we listen to preaching, it can be overwhelming because all we're hearing is you need to do this, you need to do this, you don't need to do that. But I want you to understand that all of this is in the context of the new birth. And so Peter doesn't suggest for a second that this wife or these other individuals in these different circumstances are supposed to submit in such extreme ways without the empowering of the Holy Spirit. This is Jesus Christ living and working within this weak woman that allows her to bear up under unjust suffering. And so as we find ourselves in these positions where maybe we're mistreated at work, and we want to return evil for evil, it is only the power of God that gives us the ability to respond in love and in grace. And so we need the Holy Spirit. We need to have Christ in us. We need the new birth. We need the second creation. And that's what this world needs to see. And that's what those who are closest to us need to see in the workplace, in the family, in our church. They need a demonstration. They need to see the gospel lived out. They need to hear the word, but they also need to hear the word confirmed. And so this morning, as we've mentioned, we need the Holy Spirit. We need the new birth. How does one go about getting the Holy Spirit? Peter, after preaching the gospel in Acts chapter 2, those who heard this word were cut to the heart, and they ask him, what must we do to be saved? He responds in verse 38. He says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And so I would appeal to anyone who is outside of Christ, who does not know this new life, who does not have intimacy, who has not experienced a new birth, that this is what the Scripture is commanding and mandating for you to do, to turn away from sin, to be baptized, which is to be immersed into water, to reenact the death, burial, and resurrection, and to have your sins washed away, and then to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit for Christ to come inside of you, to live and reign and control you in order that your life would look like His life. If this is your desire, I hope that you would come forward this morning. If you have any other prayers, any other needs, concerns, would you also use this time to seek the prayers of the church as we stand and sing our invitation song?
Lost sheep are welcome here, and I'm available to you for counseling. Why don't you give me a call and let's talk about your soul? You might be thinking I've gone too far and I'm too vile for God to save me. The exact opposite is true. You would honor God by believing that Jesus is who He says He is, the mighty God, powerful and strong to save. He's able to save to the uttermost those that come to God by Him. Let me assure you that if God can save me and change me, the greatest of sinners, He can do wonders with you. Call me and let's talk about your soul and the great and sure promises of everlasting life. Call me for personal counseling, for songbooks or tapes at 214-821-2123. That number again is 214-821-2123.
Now to prepare our minds for the Lord's Supper. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples, said, take, eat, this is my body. And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, drink ye all of it. Our dear Heavenly Father, we come to you now to take this bread that represents the body of Christ. We pray that as we do this, it will be in a manner that is suitable to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Our dear Heavenly Father, we come to you now to take this cup that represents the blood of Christ that was shed on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins. In Jesus' name, amen. Our dear Heavenly Father, we come to you now to give you thanks for all the many blessings and to return a portion of that back to you. We pray this money can be used wisely as you see fit. In Jesus' name, amen.
Grace and peace to you from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. This program is brought to you by the poor, the meek, and the downtrodden of the Main Street Church of Christ, 4300 Main Street, Dallas, Texas, 75226, USA. Visit our website at www.churchofchristpreaching.com. We're an all-volunteer congregation dedicated to preaching the gospel to the whole world and feeding the poor and homeless. The Churches of Christ are those local self-governing congregations found in Romans 16:16. We're neither Protestants nor Catholics nor Jews, but just plain old Bible-believing Christians, reaching the unchurched for Christ at this same time and station. So why don't you come into fellowship with us and have a church in the safety of your own home? Then you and your family will become the Church of Christ, and we'll teach you how. Just come to www.churchofchristpreaching.com. You don't need the approval of anyone to worship God through Jesus Christ. At home, you can sing, pray, listen to us, take the Lord's Supper, and set aside some of God's blessings for the poor in your own local community anywhere in the world. Visit us at www.churchofchristpreaching.com for free downloads of a cappella singing, hundreds of videos, thousands of sermons, beginners and advanced written lessons for our church library. Please tell a friend about our website and broadcast time. We're the poorest church in Dallas, but with God, we've done so much for so long with so little, we're now qualified to do anything with nothing. Weekly, we feed about 2,000 meals to the poor and homeless. Our jail chaplain has baptized over 19,000 believers. We preach the gospel every day to all the world. We're the Main Street Church of Christ in Dallas, Texas. Check us out at www.churchofchristpreaching.com. Why don't you be a missionary and visit this congregation? Instead of India or Africa, you could visit us occasionally, go on a one-hour Bible missionary journey and visit us, and we visit the whole wide world. Tune in the same time and station and visit us at www.churchofchristpreaching.com.
Thank you.
beautiful, isn't it? Sounds like a choir with a full orchestra. Well, it's just plain old congregational acapella singing without musical accompaniment. Grace and peace to you from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. This program is brought to you by the poor, the meek, and the downtrodden of the Main Street Church of Christ. 4300 Main Street, Dallas, Texas, 75226 USA. Visit our website at www.churchofchristpreaching.com. We're an all-volunteer congregation dedicated to preaching the gospel to the whole world and feeding the poor and homeless. The Churches of Christ are those local self-governing congregations found in Romans 16:16. We're neither Protestants nor Catholics nor Jews, but just plain old Bible-believing Christians, reaching the unchurched for Christ at the same time and station. So why don't you come into fellowship with us and have a church in the safety of your own home? Then you and your family will become the Church of Christ, and we'll teach you how. Just come to www.churchofchristpreaching.com. You don't need the approval of anyone to worship God through Jesus Christ. At home, you can sing, pray, listen to us, take the Lord's Supper, and set aside some of God's blessings for the poor in your own local community anywhere in the world. Visit us at www.churchofchristpreaching.com for free downloads of acapella singing, hundreds of videos, thousands of sermons, beginners and advanced written lessons for our church library. Please tell a friend about our website and broadcast time. We're the poorest church in Dallas, but with God, we've done so much for so long with so little, we're now qualified to do anything with nothing. Weekly, we feed about 2,000 meals to the poor and homeless. Our jail chaplain has baptized over 19,000 believers. We preach the gospel every day to all the world. We're the Main Street Church of Christ in Dallas, Texas. Check us out at www.churchofchristpreaching.com. Why don't you be a missionary and visit this congregation? Instead of India or Africa, you could visit us occasionally. Go on a one-hour Bible missionary journey and visit us, and we visit the whole wide world. Tune in the same time and station and visit us at www.churchofchristpreaching.com.